Good morning and welcome to worship. We appreciate those of you who are watching online and those of you who are here with us in person. We've arrived at the fourth Sunday of Advent. Christmas is drawing near, and it's a wonderful time of the year, of course. As we begin today, though, let's begin as we always do by saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world. Thank you that he died for our sins and rose from the grave, that he ascended to heaven's throne, and he's coming again to make this world all it was meant to be. He has inaugurated his kingdom, and he's working in and through our lives today, but we look forward to that vision of his return. So help our worship today to draw us near to your side, to hear what matters to your heart. Guide us, shape us, mold us into the people you are calling us to be. And may we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, a special part of the Advent season is the lighting of the Advent wreath. The Evelyns are here to do that for us, and we will read along with them the portions that are labeled all. We'll read together with them.
We light the candle of love as we reflect on the words, "For God so loved the world that God sent his one and only Son."
We remember the faithful love of God.
We remember Mary's song this morning and how she reflected and responded to her love for God and God's work in the world.
With Mary, we reflect on the faithfulness of God throughout history to care for the people of God.
We reflect on the truth that Zechariah was silenced while a humble virgin teenager was allowed to sing. It upset the normal systems and elevated the voice of a peasant. This is a reminder to us that the kingdom of God looks different than the systems of this world.
May we all live lives that reflect the kingdom of God, where the voices of the oppressed are elevated while those in power are humbled.
We are guided on a journey of seeking out places where God is at work in unusual ways. We open our ears to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in unexpected places.
May we faithfully set aside our preconceived ideas and judgments to truly hear the voice of God in the world.
With the love of God in our hearts, may we work to see the love of God at work in the world. God's love embraces all people, regardless of background, race, ethnic, gender, or any other category that we place upon others.
May we remember the love of God extended to us all and live out the love to the world around us, especially to those so often overlooked.
world.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together, and at this time we'll sing. There we go. For tithes and offerings, if you're here with us, you can give at the plates at the back. If you're watching online, you can give on our website at fairmeadowchurch.org. You can also give on our Facebook page. Click Give Today or Donate, whatever button you see. We appreciate those of you who give that way. If you want to mail it in to our church address here in Munster, you can do that. However you can give, we appreciate it. It makes such a difference. We got our first NIPSCO bill for the winter, and it was over $1,000, even with all the efforts we've gone to. So we do appreciate your continued faithfulness in giving. But as we go to prayer, we want to remember several of our congregation. Delia Sanchez is still recovering from COVID, but now at home. Also, the Wormsbecker family just found out that their daughter, Jill, who does live at home, she came down with COVID at the end of the week. So Helen is not here with us because she's isolating now. Jeff is also on the road away from home and will be returning home soon. So we want to be praying for the Wormsbecker family also. We know that the numbers are up at all-time highs in our area. We had over 400 new cases on Friday. The hospitals are filling up. It is a concern. So let's all do our part to protect those around us. And we want to pray for our discipleship journey, that we continue to grow in faith and in love, and that we reach our world for Christ. So with all this in mind, let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we pause on this Sunday morning to give thanks to you, because you have done great things. In Jesus, you have done what we are still amazed by after all these years. We are still growing in our knowledge of your love and all that you've done for us. And we experience your grace every day. Your mercies are new every morning to help us to meet the challenges of the day. If we will look to you and cry out to you, we will find that you will meet our needs. Thank you for forgiving us in Jesus. Thank you for a fresh start in life. Thank you for the hope of eternity with you. And thank you for the opportunity to join you in building your kingdom here and now. And Father, we want to glorify you, for you are the one who created this world. You are holy and righteous. Your ways are higher than our ways, Lord. And so we come before you and humble ourselves to learn from you. And we ask, Lord, today that you'll move in our midst. Our world is still grappling with this virus, and it's at dangerous levels now. So we pray for the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. We pray for those who are currently battling the disease. We pray for Delia this morning. We pray for Jill. We pray that you'll protect Helen and just keep that home safe in you. Help healing to happen in their lives. And protect all of our families, Lord, through this season. But help us, Lord, as we seek to love our neighbors, to do our part. May we get a vaccine, get a booster shot, do the things that we need to do to make sure we're not spreading this disease. And Father, help us to be faithful in all ways during this time, to not become distracted during the hustle and bustle of this time of year, but instead to pause daily, to look to you, to hear from you, to find strength, and to be reminded of what's truly most important in life. Bless our families, as some may be gathering together. Make those special times, but Father, safe times as well. And help us all as we move forward in faith to be faithful to you. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. This time, let's turn our attention to God's Word. And today we'll be in the Gospel of Luke, but backing up just a bit to chapter 1, verse 46. This is the song of Mary. So let's stand again in honor of God's word today. Open your hearts. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away silent. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. This is God's word. You can be seated. Well, it's been said that if mothers wrote more of the songs we sing at Christmas, we'd probably have fewer songs about silent nights and babies who don't cry. It's an interesting and somewhat humorous thought, but the truth is that here we do have a song that was written by the mother of Jesus. And it doesn't, in fact, mention silent nights or non-crying babies. Perhaps the most surprising thing about it is that it isn't a soft and sweet lullaby at all. It's a powerfully subversive song that speaks of the mighty power of God that is breaking into the world in unexpected ways. It speaks of strong arms, of promise, of the powerful thrown down from their thrones, and of the meek and humble being raised up. It's a song of love, but not in a soft way. Instead, it conveys the strong and steadfast love, the way that the love of God has been and continues to be, the way it's expressed in our world even now. It's a song of a mother's love for gratitude to God. And we sing songs that speculate about whether Mary fully knew what God was asking her to do. And what we find here in Luke chapter 1 is that Mary really did have a lot of insight into the mission of God. She understood what Jesus came to do in ways that many around her seemed to have no idea. Mary understood better than some who maybe should have known better, like the priest Zechariah, who was silenced for his lack of faith. But she understood that God was moving in new ways. How do we do with that? How do we perceive when God is up to something new? Well, Luke chapter 1, like much of Luke's gospel, when compared to the other gospels, it brings out the voices of women. Zechariah gets silenced immediately upon his unbelief at Elizabeth's pregnancy. And for those unfamiliar with the story, the background is that an angel appears to Zechariah as he's serving as a priest in the temple, and then announces to him that his wife is pregnant. But due to their old age, Zechariah doesn't think this is possible, and the angel renders him mute until after the baby is born. Powerful. The story of Mary and the angel is of stark contrast to that of Zechariah. Zechariah questions Elizabeth's miracle pregnancy, but Mary believes hers right away when the angel speaks. Even though Mary, too, questions what the angel says, she's not silenced. Shortly afterward, she sings. This contrast is significant because Zechariah was already a religious leader. If anyone were going to believe God, if anyone was going to be able to speak a prophetic word about God in a moment like that, it should be him. But instead, Elizabeth is the one who speaks prophetic words over Mary upon her visit. She declares that the child in Mary's womb is her Lord. Mary, in contrast to Zechariah, she's just a humble peasant girl. Yet she believes in the power of God for this miraculous pregnancy. And she declares the power of God through a powerful song. And so, in this contrasting way, God is sort of shaking up things. He's stirring up fallow ground. He's making things ready for his arrival. It was a very patriarchal society that Mary was in. Women couldn't own property. They weren't allowed to testify in court. And all of these limitations, though, had no effect on God's plan. The fact that Luke puts the prophetic words of women front and center reveals that something different was going on. Their culture is going to be upended by the coming of the Messiah in ways that no one expected. We should also note the fact that Mary's song precedes Zechariah's, and that reveals that the kingdom of God is not entering into the world in ways that we expect. It would have been expected for the kingdom to be ushered in through power or prestige, but the Messiah is not coming through those channels. Instead, the Messiah is coming through a humble peasant girl from a no-name town. People said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" All right, well, as I mentioned before, Mary's song is a love song, but it's a different kind of love song. It's not a sappy or sentimental song. It's a power song. And Mary responds by rejoicing in God. She's celebrating the wonders of God. She sees that it's God's hand moving. She's giving God the glory, and she's letting God and us know that God is doing something unusual. But it's an act of faithfulness. It's an expression of his character, keeping his promises over time. She gives God thanks for being present, not just with her, but also with the whole world. And she speaks of generations honoring God, generations declaring miracles that he had done. And she declares the miracles of the past for Abraham and Sarah. And as she glorifies God's character, she's declaring God's mercy toward humanity, seeing us in our need and not leaving us in our need. And she uses the language of filling people up who were otherwise lacking. And then she speaks to the strength and power of God, speaking of God's mighty arm. And this song isn't isolated. It reflects the depth of Mary's faith because she references so many songs of the Old Testament. I'm going to give a list of just some of the scriptures that she appears to be referencing in her song. But it's a pretty impressive list. First of all, there's great similarity between Samuel chapter 1 and 2 and the song that Mary sings here. There we know it's the story of Hannah, who was without a child, who came and prayed to God and asked for him to bless her womb. And then when God did move and work in her life, she prayed a great prayer of thanks. So here, Mary's song echoes the prayer of Hannah in Samuel 1 and 2. She borrows some of the same language that Hannah used. And in verse 48, she references 1 Samuel 1:11. In verse 53 of her song, she references 1 Samuel 2:5. The Psalms are also referenced throughout the song. Verse 46 seems to reference Psalm 34, verse 2. Verse 47 references Psalm 35:9. And verse 49 references Psalm 111:9. Verse 51 references Psalm 89:10-11, and I'm not done yet. Verse 53 references Psalm 107, verse 9. And verse 54 references Psalm 98, verse 3. Well, she keeps going, and there are other writings that are referenced, and even the minor prophets. So verse 52 references Job 12:9 and 5:11. And verse 55 references Micah 7:20. And verse 53 even references Genesis. Genesis 17, verse 7 and verse 9. That's an impressive list. Mary was not some person who didn't know or care about the things of God. She had heard the word of God being read, and she had taken it into her heart as a promise. And now when she saw what God was doing in her life, she put it all together. And I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. When you begin to study the word of God and hear the word of God and read it again and again and again, you begin to notice those themes that come up again and again. And you hear echoes from one part of the scripture in another part of the scripture, and it comes alive to you in new ways. Then, at that point, you can look out at the world, and you can see what's happening around you, and you begin to understand the places where God may be at work. And that's the kind of moment that spawned Mary to write her song. Well, she's dedicated to the scriptures, and she's a prophetic type person. She's naming God at work in the world. It was common for prophets to use scripture to speak about what was happening around them. Jesus himself did this several times, but the vast number of references that Mary uses here reveal that she was seeing it with clear prophetic eyes. She was reminding the world where God was faithful and at work in the past, and she was declaring and revealing what God was doing now and hinting at what God was going to do. So once again, these are words we would expect to come from a place of power and privilege, but instead they came from a humble young woman. Well, when you get into the specifics of what she says, it's also very surprising, and it's upending the way things tend to work in the world. It's a powerful and subversive song. It's subversive because of the messenger, because it's this poor girl, but also it's because of the words that she says. Thomas Cahill called the Magnificat, and that is this song, Mary's song, and it's been written into operas and other pieces of music across the years. But he said it's the most muscular piece of celebration poetry in all of ancient literature. That's a powerful statement for something a young girl wrote. The subversive nature of this song was significant because people assumed that power was coming from a particular place, especially during this time. That place was where? Rome. And if you lived in Israel at the time, in Palestine, then locally you thought of Jerusalem as the seat of power and a place that was compromised by Rome during this time. The thought was that the Messiah would overthrow this type of power using the same kind of worldly empire-building tactics that Rome and all the other powers were using. Caesar had even declared himself to be the Son of God, at one point even claiming that he could forgive sins. But Mary's song revealed that Messiah was coming not through that kind of power, not through that kind of war, or through that kind of money, but it was coming through humility and an ordinary person. The message that Mary, by her very presence, declared was that the kingdom of God is not for the wealthy and powerful, but those who are oppressed, forgotten, and downtrodden. And this was an era full of downtrodden people. They were taxed to death by Caesar and then by Herod on top of that. The Jews had lived under the thumb of the powerful for centuries by this point. Many people were starving and desperate, and they would still take what little they had. Well, Mary's song declared that the kingdom of God would be a kingdom of justice. Those who had the power were going to be torn from their seats of power. Verse 52 says that. They would lose their power to control others. They would lose their power to inflict war and cruelty. They would lose their power to tax people to a breaking point. And those who had been suffering would be empowered. Those who had wealth were going to be sent away empty, verse 53. And they would lose the wealth and power they had gained by stepping on the backs of others. And they would lose their ability to hoard or acquire wealth while those around them suffered. Now, this is not to say that everyone who had acquired some sort of wealth in life was inherently evil. That's not what's being said. But during this time, most of the people who had been able to do that were cooperating with those who had bad things in mind. They were compromising. They were selling out their neighbors in order to gain the advantage. And wealth acquired in that way was not going to stand. Those who would be remembered would be the faithful, the people who remembered God. Verse 50. Now those people would be remembered and they would be shown mercy. Now it would be a safe assumption that not everyone in a culture of empire would remember to follow God. The easy route would be to bow to Caesar. It would be much harder in a culture trying to dilute or drown your faith to live in a faithful way. Are we experiencing that in our times? I don't know. But I know we have an opportunity to live faithful anyway. This also was a message of extreme hope. People who've been waiting for a long time. It had been 400 years since a prophet had clearly spoken. And these were an oppressed and desperate people. And they were likely wondering if God was listening. At least some of them were. It had been centuries. But now with Mary's prophetic voice opening the door, John the Baptist would speak and others would speak. And God was beginning to move again. This message reminded humanity that God had not abandoned them, that God continues to be faithful to God's people, and God is going to bring about the day of the Lord in unexpected ways. So this morning, I don't know exactly what you're going through, although some of you, I know almost exactly what you're going. But I know this, that God has never forgotten you. God has always had a plan to bless you, to heal you, to work through your family, to bring about peace and reconciliation, to change your life, to save you from sin, and to build his kingdom here and now. And when God looks out at the world and he sees powerful voices that are trying to oppress, powerful voices that are trying to silence the church or trying to silence God's faithful people or trying to just silence those in need who are crying out. God is not intimidated by those who want to silence others. And God will move in his time to turn the tables. That's part of how God expresses love. He has promised to deliver those who look to him. And he has never failed to deliver us, even if it's through the trials of life, even if it's through death itself. When Jesus rose again from the dead, God won the ultimate reversal, that even death itself would not hold back the coming kingdom of God. That's love. That's powerful love. That's the love that Christmas reveals to us. Well, it might feel odd to read such a strong and powerful song on a week of Advent when we're talking about love. But I think it's fitting. Because the love of God is not fragile. It's not sappy and syrupy sweet. It's not broken easily. And it's something that came in powerful and unexpected ways, and so we should expect it to come in our lives in the same way. Not through the typical avenues of power and prestige, but rather through simple, humble people who know the Word of God, who have experienced the love of God, and are faithfully, boldly living out that truth where they live. This story of the breaking in kingdom of God, it's truly the greatest love story ever told. About God leaving the glory of heaven to take on humanity. It's a story of strength and beauty displayed in unexpected ways. It's the story of a love that sacrifices itself instead of wounding others. It's a story of mercy instead of judgment. It's a story of humility and humanity. It's a story of what love should be, strong and powerful in mercy and justice. It's a love story in the truest sense of the word, a story that continues today with us. We too can reveal the love of God in the ways that we live, in the truths that we declare. And may the things that we say with our lips line up with the things that we do with our lives. As we reveal the love of God through these ways, we continue to see the kingdom of God break through all around us. We see Him working in us. We see Him working through us. And we see the world changing. I'll say this. Love is never easy. Love is always costly. Mary knows that for sure. Joseph knows. Jesus knows. In fact, all who have lived and loved well, they know. But love also does what nothing else can do to change the world. So this morning, please, receive the love of God. If you dare. Because you need it. And so share the love of Jesus if you dare. Because so many need it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for Mary's song. It's not pop music. It's the real thing. Thank you, Lord, that it penetrates our hearts. It penetrates the ways that we may be discovered as leaning on the things of this world to save us, that we may be tempted to participate in injustice, that we may be tempted to ignore our neighbor. We may be tempted to only think of our own needs. But Father, forgive us for this. Meet us with your mercy, and let us hear Mary's powerful song that reaches out for the broken, that reaches out to those who are oppressed, that reaches out to those who don't know where their next meal is coming from, those who have no idea how they're going to pay the bills that are sitting on the table at home. May the justice and mercy and love of God move in to God's faithful people and guide them so that all of their needs will be met in your time. Lord, I have seen you do it. I give you direct praise for answering prayers, for providing for needs, for people going to the mailbox and finding something unexpected, a check that was an answer to prayers. And Father, we've seen you move and work in our lives, so we're not going to doubt you today. Help us, Lord, to see that your love is strong. And give us strength to identify with people like Mary and to hear her words and to hear her cries. May we align ourselves with you and your love. May we distance ourselves from the ways of the world that are cruel and unjust. And Father, may the needs of all of these good people be met in you. And Father, in this moment, help us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a life willing to respond with your eyes still closed. God's moving in our midst today. And if you're saying yes to him, yes to his ways, and trusting him to provide for your needs, would you just acknowledge that this morning? Lift your hand. Thank you. Thank you. If God is nudging you today, and you know there's change needed in light of this, would you acknowledge that today and lift up your hand and say, yes, Lord, I'm stepping in to the new that you have for me, that I would trust you more, that I would be aligned with you better. Thank you. Well, Father, I pray now that you'll move deeply in each and every life. Help us to see your strong, holy, powerful love at work. Let us never doubt that you will be faithful to deliver your people, and help us to see where we can serve, where we can love, where we can share in ways that bring glory to you, that help your kingdom to come. And we thank you for all that you're doing in taking care of us and helping us to take care of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's say the Apostles' Creed before we go. Let's stand together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Oh, and Joy asked me to let her do a presentation now.
I just presented Pastor Tim with a financial gift from the church that we give him in appreciation at Christmas. And in the secular world, it's called the Christmas bonus. Here in the church, we call it a Christmas love gift. And through your offerings and so forth, you're all a part of this gift that we present to him to show our appreciation for his past year of service.
Thank you so much, Joy. It's a beautiful card and a generous check. We appreciate that. We're so glad to be here serving with you. We appreciate so much your faithfulness. You make it easy to be your pastor by seeking out the Lord's will and being so faithful. We appreciate the volunteer hours that people put in, and we appreciate the prayers that go up and your faithful living. So may God continue to bless our union as we work together in him. And I pray that we'll have another good year together. Thank you. Well, now as you go in the powerful love of God to live faithfully to his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. There won't be Sunday school today, but there will be a Christmas Eve service, 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Thank you. God bless.